Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Welcome to the live show, everybody. This is a show I do live on YouTube, usually on Tuesdays, now on Monday, probably Monday for a couple more weeks. And I want to say it's also a podcast. You can listen to it as an audio-only podcast. You shouldn't. And if you're listening to this as a podcast right now, I apologize ahead of time. See, that's how bad it is. I can't even pronounce words. This show is barely listenable as it is on YouTube. If you're not getting the video, it's terrible. So I apologize to those of you who listen to the podcast. You must be very bored if you're listening to me right now. But we're talking rafting and just boating and stuff. And hopefully I can share some thoughts. I do this show to answer questions I receive throughout the week. If you have questions for me, please go to whitewaterguidebook.com, figure out the internet on your own, ask a question through the form. The new form should be working. So if you submit a question and I don't answer it, let me know. Hopefully all the questions are coming through. Today, we're going to do a recap of the Wind Festival, talk about GoRafting.com, one of our sponsors, and then answer questions that have been submitted. Some great questions this week. I'm actually pretty jazzed. And I just want to start by talking about the Wind Festival. It was awesome. There was amazing turnout. Hundreds of people. We had good flows, good weather, just nice people. Scott Michael, the organizer, did a great job of organizing. It was a tiny bit disorganized at times. That's just the nature of running a festival that has gotten really big. It's a lot to do for one person, and Scott did a great job of managing the whole thing. We're trying to also be respectful of the local. Like, there's now new private property in the area, and with the festival getting bigger, you know, being able to manage all these cars and boaters and people that are just there to boat, like come and leave, is hard. And so he did a good job of that. And there was longboat kayak, shortboat kayak, R2 race, R4 race, and the cataract race. And that's the one I took part in. And so the festival's, you know, a couple hours of talking to people, do a race, go to a brewery afterwards and celebrate. It's just awesome. It's a great, great event. And we've been doing it for like 15 plus years now. And for the past, I would say like 8 years, there hasn't really been a good cataract showing. And this year it was great. And I'm going to show some video from Cody. I'll make this bigger. Those of you that don't know, Cody has a YouTube page, Private Whitewater. And if you don't subscribe, you should stop watching this right now and just subscribe to Cody's channel. It's great. He works really hard on it. He's put a lot of time and thought into it. He went and did the middle of Oahu last week and has a great video of running Widowmaker. And he also has this video of the entire Kapo race. He, at the beginning, got an ace, so he got a start in the front. There's two aces in the deck. I'm not sure what happened. But him and once somebody else got a start in the is the start. And this is just awesome. Look at all those cat boats. It's so cool. So you can Cody it off to an early lead. And I'm not gonna show the whole video, but like this is just a good time. And I want to thank all the cat boaters that came out and participated. A bunch came from Idaho to do this for whatever it was, like 3 miles. And there were some great battles to be had. And just all around great event. And so if this looks like fun to you, please come next year. Like, it's great to have cap orders get together and just good to see friends out there and make some new friends and met some cool people that morning of the event. And yeah, so super jazzed. Again, if you want to watch the rest of the video, go to Private Whitewater YouTube channel, which you should subscribe to. Like, if you're not a subscriber, please subscribe to that. Okay, next, I want to talk about GoRafting.com. It's our sponsor, so we're going to take a little sponsor break. And for those of you that don't know, they make river maps and guides. And I have a website, whitewaterguidebook.com, which I've talked about a little bit, where we make do river descriptions. And it's just a fun project. I enjoy doing it. But these ones are on their website. You can see if you go to like one of the rivers. I don't know. Let's find a river. Grand Canyon. Let's pick a different one. Middle Fork of the Salmon. There's an actual description here, if you scroll down a little bit, of the rapids and the miles and stuff. And so there's a free descriptions here, but you can also buy their maps, which work with the Far Out map. And these are apps that live on your phone, and it knows where you're at. It tells you how far it is to the next thing, camp, whatever. It's just a really great way to have a river map. And, you know, eco-friendly because they're not, you know, cutting trees down for a map, which I guess is not, it's not really trees. It's like a small portion of a tree. So it's, you know, whatever. But there's some advantages and disadvantages. Some people say you have to have a river paper map. I've seen a lot of people lose their paper maps. So people flip, paper map bomb. They don't have it. I've also seen people lose phones or batteries die. So you can also lose your phone. I'm not saying like you have to have a paper map. All right. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but I really, no, I am saying that. I think that apps like this are the future. I think we'll all be using, I bet in 10 years, paper maps will be a fun thing you have to read around the campfire. But the app that knows where you're at and can tell you the distance and it's updatable, right? Like when you buy a river map, the Middle Fork of the Salmon just changed last August. Your river maps are all obsolete. Where is like on a map like this, you can update this live and they don't have to buy a new map every few years. You just have it updated live. Let's see. I don't know for a fact. Did they update it live? We're going to find out. Is there anything new? Oh, I hope. Well, I think they spelled Doors Rock wrong. I think it's D-O-O-R-S. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Actually, that's actually a cool spelling of it. I always thought it was D-O-O-R-S. Well, oh, here we go. Sulfur Slide had enormous debris flow in August of 2023. We're unsure how it will look in 2024. If you have updates, please leave a comment. Sweet. Again, Ramshorn. It talks about the landslide. So the really cool thing about an app or a website is that it's updatable and it can change as the river conditions change, as new hazards appear. And so I just like, I'm a fan and I bring my phone on trips. I don't know if everybody else does. I use it for emergency communication because the iPhone 14 can text emergency out. I use it for my camera. Maybe I listen to a podcast when I'm going to bed at night. I don't know. I just have so many cool things you can use your phone for. So we already have our phones. I just think this is the future. They have, you know, the map for the Middle Fork is, what is it? I don't know, $20, whatever it is. It's about the same as a paper map. But they also have like this bundle, the 70, save 75% with the bundle for $60. If I was giving the business advice, I would not let them do this. This is way too cheap. For $60, you get all these maps. And I recognize that like you're not going to use the Food LeFou, probably. You're probably not going to use Upper Klamath because nobody's boating anymore. A lot of these you're not going to use. East Glacial in Iceland, you're probably not going to use it. I don't even know what Shotover is. Click a tat, you may or may not do it. Who knows? But beyond that, there's some, you know, classics on here. Tuolumne, Gates of Lodore, Illinois. I wrote the Illinois map. It's like, it's good. Still, I need to make it better. I need to make some improvements. I need to add some more fluff to it. It's good. So the information you need. Anyway, for $60, you get all of these. It's sweet. So anyway, they're our sponsors. Thank you, Go Rafting, for sponsoring the show. And like I said, this is probably the future of maps. It's my opinion. Oh, we have a comment. Cute. Okay. Also, I'm going to answer questions. If you have comments, just put them, or if you have questions, you can put them in the comments right now. Somebody asked me a question after I was done with last week's show, and I was bummed I couldn't answer the question. So feel free to do that. Intermediary Joe, what is the maximum CFS guest can use the duckies on the Oahe? And do your duckies have knee straps? So, Intermediary Joe, I'm not going to give you a CFS. I don't have like a cut and dry like this flow. It is a combination of who's in the ducky. It's also depends on the guides. Like, what are they like really good guides at leading duckies, or are they really, really good guides at leading duckies? And their comfort level with having duckies at certain flows. That's a decision they can make based on how comfortable they're feeling based on the whole crew skill. So it's the crew, it's the individual paddler or the paddlers. Like the duckies have to rescue each other sometimes. So how good are all the people ducking and how good are you at ducking? And nobody, and you're not going to self-assess, right? Like somebody who's ducking thinks they're like class 5 duckier. The guides are like, dude, you're class 2+ at best. So you may disagree with them, but unfortunately, that's their choice. So anyway, I'm on a whole tangent here. It's a combination of who's in the ducky, who the guides are, is the flow rising or falling, are there new known hazards, what's the weather, because the weather plays a huge role, how cold is it for a swim, a whole bunch of factors. And so it's not an exact, like, here's a number. Hopefully it answers the question. Now, the guides may choose a number on their own because that's a number they're comfortable with. And I will back them up. If they're like, hey, our cutoff is 3,000. I trust our guides to make good decisions. I'm not a, what's the word? I'm not a top down, like, I have some rules for sure, but I also like, we have good guides and they're smart and they're going to be conservative because duckies are dangerous and we only want to be using them if it's responsible. And yeah, so hope that answers your question, Intermediary Joe. There's no number. And that's like the same thing. What's the highest you run the middle fork? It depends. Who are the guests? Who are the guides? Are there known hazards? Other stuff. How high you run the Illinois? We have a hard cutoff on the Illinois because I just don't want to run high water trips there. At 3,000, I just don't like. Sometimes you have the right setup. I just don't want to. I don't like that. I don't want that liability. But like, I'll cancel trips at 2,200 if or 1,800 if the guests aren't physically fit. If I like the guides are good, but they're not like. They're not experienced enough to handle the higher levels. There's weather coming in. Is the river rising? Same thing. Everything. How high do you run duckies on the Rogue? It depends. How high? Yeah. It's not just one number. It's a whole bunch of factors. And to be very honest, like it's the the guides. And we have really good guides. But we have like really good guides, and then we have like really, really good guides. And it's just a matter of like how long have they been guiding, how much training they have to be able to do things that are a little bit more pushing the edge, which would be like running a ducky at high water. Okay. I don't like number cutoffs because there's so many more factors that matter. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. Questions. Hello. I'm curious what Scuba Steve constructed of. I've been trying to find a good way to simulate an unconscious swimmer. So those of you that don't know, Scuba Steve is our rescue swimmer. Do I have video of Scuba Steve somewhere I can find quickly? And we use him, Scuba Steve, in our classes to let people practice. Let me see if I can find a video. Do I have anything handy here? Maybe a short. Let's see. I don't think I do. Oh, yeah, we have Scuba Steve. It's a short, though. Where would it be? Oh, it's on Instagram. I can't find it right now. Anyway. Yeah, it's just a dummy, right? And not like it's a actual like not real person dummy, and it's just a wrestling. Let me see if I can Google this wrestling dummy. Wrestling, something like. Oh no, not that one. Let me find it. I found the one. Something. Like, and this is why I'm really sorry for those of you listening to this as a podcast. This me just blathering on trying to figure things out is why this sucks as a podcast. It's something like this, a grappling dummy, a wrestling dummy, and you take it and you just fill it with water bottles. And like the little ones, like some little ones, some really small ones, some little bigger ones, you want it to be heavy and neutrally buoyant. Our bodies are made mostly of water. You fill this wrestling dummy with water bottles. It flops around. It's heavy. It kind of floats. You have to throw a life jacket on it, which you're going to need to sew some things around his waist, some little tabs to like attach the life jacket, or life jacket will fall off. The high life jacket won't keep on this, but man, it is real. And we have students pulling in Scuba Steve, which is our swimmer dummy, and they hate it because it's real. Like, it's just hard. And like, yeah, this pulling swimmers in is hard and you need to be able to do it. And I'm sorry that it's hard and it sucks, but like, this is what saving people looks like. They're heavy and they're, well, Scuba Steve doesn't help. And a lot of swimmers don't help. They're winded, they're tired, they're out of shape. And so a lot of swimmers, you're rowing to them and you're finding them and you're pulling them in. So Scuba Steve does a great job. On Scuba Steve, we put a regular like high float PFD, like a 25-pound PFD. We also have Scuba Sally, who we run a kayaker PFD with a low float 16-pound PFD. And it is noticeable how much harder it is to rescue Scuba Sally. If you had to rescue Scuba Steve and Scuba Sally side by side, it would change your mind about what PFD you wear. Because Scuba Sally's PFD is also black. And so she's way harder to spot. Like Scuba Steve has an orange PFD, easier to see. She's hard to find. And then once you get her, it's harder to grab her because the straps are just harder to get to. And she's deeper in the water. And so getting her is harder. And it'll open your eyes to the value of high flotation PFDs. So anyway, get one of these dummies. I'm not sure this one says durable canvas, so it's probably good. Fill it with water bottles of different sizes, make it heavy, put a PFD on it, put a helmet on it. You're gonna sew some little tabs. You have to get some webbing and do some sewing so that it stays on. And yeah, cool. It's an awesome training tool. It's an awesome tool, but people hate it. Like I try to do as much as I can in our classes, but I can just tell they're like, stop doing this to us. Cause it's hard. It's really hard. And the Scuba Steve doesn't do what you want Scuba Steve to do or think Scuba Steve's going to do. I don't get to see photos, so I have no idea what you're talking about. We just saw this at Costco and looked like in a, I'm not sure what you're talking about, Will. Yeah. Oh man. And oh, cap pulling Scuba Steve into a capo is brutal because there's nowhere for Scuba Steve to end. And yeah, it's really good practice. And we have Sanchez and Stefan too, which are just balls to like warm up for Scuba Steve. But the balls they're like big rubber balls. They don't act anything like a swimmer. They're just like really boring practice. Okay. Hopefully that answered the question. All right. Best in the West. Have you seen the bracket from Oars for the second best in the West River trip? I've got my thoughts about the bracket and some of the results. Was curious if you've seen it, what you think and how it's played out. Huh? Yeah. Seen actually helped them with it. I gave them some photos. Let's go look at it. Oars.com. I wish the URL was better. They should just have it be something like Best West or something. This is Best-In-The. My advice is get a better URL. Okay, so it's the second best river trip. This is working under the assumption that the Grand Canyon is the best. Like that, they're just saying, hey, we're crowning number one. You guys don't get a vote on number one. We're just assuming it is. Even though, in my opinion, the Grand Canyon is not the best river trip in the West. My choice would be, my favorite is the Illinois. That's my favorite trip. I think the best is the Middle Fork, personally. Just because it's a little shorter, 6 days. Most people enjoy that length. Hot springs, fishing, trees, continuous nature. Yeah, the Grand Canyon's the Grand Canyon. It's the Grand Canyon. I'm in the Grand Canyon. It's so cool. But in my opinion, the Middle Fork's number one. But anyway, we're just going to go under the assumption that the Grand Canyon is number one here. And yeah, and you can see you can't see it right now. Help me go back to it. These are the brackets. The Illinois lost in the first round handily to the Middle Fork of the Flathead. Did not see that coming. And I mean, we're down to the final round. The Middle Fork beat the Rogue and Gates of Lodore beat Yampa. And so it's Middle Fork versus Gates. I mean, Middle Fork's going to destroy Gates of Lodore. Like, yeah. What did they have to go up against? I mean, honestly, these four right here, Dolores, Salt, Selway, and the Forks of the Kern. Those are four amazing trips. Like the Salt is, I've never done it, but people are in love with that river. The Forks of the Kern is unreal. It's only 2 days, maybe three, depending on how you do it. You have to hike in 2 miles, but like it's ridiculously amazing. So we beat the Tuolumne. There's so many good rivers here. And so I don't know if I was in this side over Gates of Lodore, I would pick Dolores, Salt, Selway, Forks, Tuolumne. I would put all of those and Yampa over Gates of Lodore, and somehow Gates of Lodore won because it's a popularity contest. Right? Like the Forks of the Kern is a ridiculous trip. People just don't know what that means. It's just like, I don't know. I've never heard of that. I've heard of the Selway. And so this is really a popularity contest. The Middle Fork, again, everybody knows about it. But like the Oahe is amazing. The Illinois is, again, my favorite. And the fact that it lost in the first round, I was a little bummed. But it looks like the Middle Fork is going to beat Gates of the Doors. I mean, crown the second best river trip in the country. So those are my thoughts. I'm stoked on this. I'm glad Oars did it. It's kind of fun. I mean, we all probably agree and disagree about why things won or didn't win, or like some people are like, oh, this is made up and not real. It's just fun. This is just a good time. And Orz reached out to me and I gave them some Selway and Illinois photos to use. I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm stoked Orz is doing it. It's a fun conversation. Again, like we probably all disagree with something or a few things like I do, but I mean, somebody told me once, you don't have conversation without disagreement. And you know, if we don't disagree on things, life is boring. So this is cool. I like this. I'm glad they did it. My opinion. Yeah. It's metaphoric salmon. It just has it all. I guess it doesn't have like big volume rapids and doesn't have like, you know, the side hikes in the Grand Canyon are amazing. Like the side hikes are unreal, but I mean, they're just different. They're hard to compare. That's for sure. Okay. So let me see. Let's go on. So that's my thoughts. I'm stoked they did it. I'm not happy with the results, but that's life. Yeah. AJ Gentile. Yeah, the Dolores. I haven't done it, but everybody who has raves about it. It's one of those rivers that only has water every few years. It's really far away from me. I've never made the trip out. But it again, in a popularity contest, the rivers that a lot of people have done are going to win. And a lot of people have done the Dolores. So it's hard to win. Okay. Next question. I'm going to read these for the sake of the podcast listeners, but I'm bad at reading off a screen. And so again, if you're listening to this as a podcast, you're bad. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a podcast. If you're sitting here listening to it and this is awful, I warned you at the beginning of the show that it's going to be awful and not fun for you. So get ready. Okay. I seem to recall from your Gear Garage vids late last year or early this one that you mentioned Watershed Dry Bags is coming out the new and improved line of dry bags with improved burlier fabric. Any updates on this? Yeah, I mean, same bags, just the new fabric. I got it right here. I mean, it's so big. This is, you can just buy them now. Like, I bought this from NRS because they had it. I think NRS might have been the first people to have it. Let me see if I can make it so big. This is the new one I used to use for my like personal kit, my like what I take on river, a black Watershed bag that's like 10 years old for the old fabric that's amazing. And I wanted to get orange because I want my safety kit, my first aid kit to be the brighter bag. So I bought the orange, this new thicker fabric, and it's solid. And I have the weaker fabric in the orange. And I can tell you that old fabric is not good. It's passable as a dry bag. And I'm sure but it's not going to last as long as this. This fabric is amazing. It feels good. It has a nice like feel to it. I trust that this is durable. And so the way you know, somebody told me this, the way you know it's the new fabric, if you can see this, the way that Watershed is embossed, you see how it's embossed right there? The previous bags didn't do that. So find the bags like that. I got mine from NRS. I'm sure Watershed sells them now. Yeah. But yeah, they're going. They're sweet. And I used it. I used that on the wind. On the wind Saturday. For the first time, I was stoked on it. Okay, back to the thing. I have a Chattooga duffel that I use and really like, but also have a Grand Canyon private trip this fall, late October, launch from Lee's Ferry. Thinking that a Colorado or Mississippi duffel with enhanced fabric could be the ticket. Yeah, oh yeah. That, I mean, honestly, I don't know this for sure. Of course, I can't predict the future. This is a 20-plus year dry bag right here. The previous bags, after 10, they're starting to get brittle and sun faded. You can just tell when they're new. They're not like, it's not a bomber fabric. This is like, I mean, this is a dry bag maybe you give to your grandkids. It's that, the fabric is that sweet. So I highly recommend getting one. Your Gear Garage member, happy to support the channel podcast. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Okay, so next questions. Get rid of the comment. What recommendation? I love your knowledgeable videos. Well, thank you. Wondering if you care to share your thoughts on a couple boats I'm looking at. Oh, great. These are always hard. I'm going to do my best. Please, I hope this isn't about fishing because I don't fish. And yeah, I'll do my best. I'm going to tell you before I even read it. If you're doing multi-day trips, get a 16. 16-foot boat is a great boat for multi-day trips. Get the high side 16. If you want to kick down $10,000+, get the wing. It's a lot of money. The Air 156R, solid. Don't get diminishing tubes. I already mentioned High Side. What else do I like? Those are the ones I like. I'm sure Sotar. I gotta check out the Sotar new 16-foot boats. They probably have a good 16 too. If you're doing day trips and you're rowing, a 13 is sweet. And so if you're not doing overnight trips, I go 6. If you're doing overnight, I go 16. If you're not doing overnight trips, or you go do it overnight, like with backpacking style stuff, lean to mean, 13s are sweet. Air 130R, the wing, Tony Stark boat, that's probably like $9,000. So expensive. The Air, I already mentioned the Air. What else do we use a lot? Oh, the new Sotar Rogue series are really cool. They're 13-foot Sotar Rogue series. I think that one's called the Tai. That's a cool boat. Yeah, those are good boats. So those, before I get to this, okay, here we go. I've owned a couple drift boats for 2 decades and buying my first raft to access more difficult water for spey fishing away from the crowds. Okay, I want to be really clear. I don't fish. I don't know anything about fishing. So I'm going to give you answers, but they're probably meaningless. And if you guys have fishing questions, I am sure there is somebody else other than me that can answer questions about fishing, fishing boats, waders, flies, tackle, rods. I know the language. Places to get tippet. If you need floatant, is that how you pronounce it? Floatant? If you need all the fishing stuff and the questions, I'm sure somebody else can answer those questions. That is not me. I'm going to give you a terrible answer because I don't fish. Here we go. Okay. I'm looking at an Air 130R and an Air Super Duper Puma. Yeah, I mean, those are cool boats. Yep. I have a couple of 130Rs. They're awesome. I most often fish the Upper Sandy, Upper Clackamas, and Lower Deschutes. Spey fishing, I don't even know what spey fishing is. It sounds cool, but I don't know. It's done while waiting, so not looking for all that fishing crap on my boat. Okay, cool. It's just a simple NRS Bighorn frame with an anchor drop. Okay, first of all, before you buy an NRS Bighorn, go to bettermounts.com. Thomas is making sweet frames. I have one. I need to get some more. They're lighter and they're stronger and they'll probably cost less. Go just bettermounts.com. Go there. I'm going to try to sell some for him because I go pick it up all the time. Like, wow, this is crazy light. So I'd recommend going there. Okay. Spey fishing is done. We're waiting. Just a simple in our Bighorn frame. Get a Thomas frame. Get a Better Mounts. I'll do overnighters on the shoots, but only a couple nights. I've usually gone one or two other people with me. But we take light backpacking gear. Cool. Even with two people, that 13 is going to be tight. But whatever. Okay. Was there a question in there? I don't. Oh. Oh, so you want me to share your thoughts about the 130R and Air Super Duper Puma. The Air Super Duper Puma was designed as like a low volume creaky boat. It's good for our tuning. It's good for class five. It's not a super stable platform. I would go 130R. Yeah, 130R is a solid boat. If you're going to row, go 130R. The Super Duma Puma is a little narrow, and so you need a little bit of width on boats to effectively row. And so I don't 100% remember the geometry of the Super Duma Puma, but its length to width ratio is longer than it should, or it's narrower than it should be for its length. Let's put it that way. So if you're going to R2, I'd say both are fine. Depends what you're doing. If you're rowing, 130R. Like, just my opinion. Okay. And there's more room if you do an overnight trip. I have one more question for you guys. I'd love to hear you explore comparison of Air 14 versus Air Tributary 14 versus Air 143D. Okay, so a couple things. The Air Tributary series is they're both PVC outer shells, are made overseas. And so the quality isn't as good. And so you're just buying a lower quality, but I'm guessing the warranty is less too. The Air warranty is 10 years, no fault. I don't remember what it is on the Tributary. I'm pretty sure it's less. So the Air is going to cost more. Made in the US, you're supporting American manufacturing, higher quality, better warranty. It's a better quality boat. It's pretty close to the same thing as a Tributary. So you're just basically paying less for the Tributary and just getting lower quality. That's my understanding of the whole deal. So, you know, are you buying a boat to last 10 years or 20 years? Basically. I don't know how long they last. That's a generalization. The wireframes on these boats seem similar to me. Yeah, I'm sure. I haven't looked at them, but I'm sure. But I'm a novice. The 143D is $2,200 more. And yeah, I mean, it's, again, it's better made. And, you know, when you go buy a car, do you buy I probably shouldn't say what is low quality because I'm probably wrong. I don't know. When you go buy things, do you buy things that are like kind of low quality, break sometimes, you have to deal with them breaking, they don't last, or do you just buy the right thing that's going to last a long time? Which person are you? That's how, I mean, I buy the high quality things because I'm like a mini environmentalist. And so I don't want to be throwing things away. I want things that last a long time and I can fix. I do not like buying things that are disposable. So cheaper things are disposable. They cost you less money in the short term and the same or more money in the long term because you're replacing them more often and they're harder to fix. So I would say if you care about the environment and stuff, get the boat that will last longer, which is the Air, not the Tributary. I would not go D though. I'd go R, 143R. I don't know why people are into diminishing tubes. And that's my opinion. People disagree with me, especially boat manufacturers disagree with me. They seem to think that the diminishing tubes are a good idea. But boaters that you talk to that are good boaters are all like, yeah, you want a regular size tube all around. Not all boaters, but most of them, like in the field, are like, we want regular tubes. The advantage of diminishing is more interior space and you get splashed more. Okay. The Trib is 136 pounds. The 143 is 114. Look, it's lighter too. As if different. Yeah. The Trib is, yeah, I don't know. Is 6'10" and heavy a big deal? I don't know. I don't think it matters that much. The weight, I think wider is actually good sometimes for rowing. Heavy, it depends. Like, you have to carry it. You have to load it on your trailer. You're the one that has to pick it up. Do you like carrying heavy things? I have no idea. Again, trying to get a great boat for an NRS Bighorn frame to float the upper Sandy, upper Clack, and do multi-day max to the mouth under the chutes. Yeah. I mean, my advice is, if you can afford it, go with the Air. Go with the 130R. The 130R is good, or the 143R. Or 140 or whatever it is, I'd go a little bigger. If you're doing multi-days, I'd go a little bigger. I'd go, the 156R is sweet. I'd maybe go 156. Yeah, hope that helps. I don't fish, so hopefully I answered your questions. I probably didn't. This is the thing. If people buy these 14s and these 13s for their first boat, I meet them all the time. I teach them classes, and then a couple years later, they're buying a 16, and they wish they bought a 16 to begin with. So everybody's, oh no, I don't have that much stuff. I don't like, it's just me and my wife, and then it's you and your wife and your dog and your, you know, like I have three people all of a sudden, and we decided we like beer, so we want to bring it. And next thing you know, your little 13 or 14 is overloaded. Real quick, you're gonna give up the backpacking lifestyle real quick when the people camping next to you have a keg or whatever. They have stuff. So I would just go 16, you know, right away. If you're doing overnights, do the better. Yeah. They're really simple. Yeah. Check them out. Go to bettermounts.com and you'll find all about them. They have their own little mounts and everything. Oh, look, Thomas is even here. Yeah. Hey Thomas, I need some frames. We got to talk. Actually, I got stuff to talk to you about. We need to talk. I'll try to hit you up soon. Soon, like today, maybe. Yeah, they're lighter. Every time I pick his up, I'm like, I pick up so many. I own like maybe 20 Longhorns. So I pick him up all the time, and I picked up his, and it's just noticeably lighter. It's crazy. Okay. Okay. Yeah, cool. Fishing. All right, Illinois Shuttle. I was wondering how much time needs to be budgeted for driving from Kirby, Oregon to the Miami Bar put in. Google Maps says 20 miles in about 55 minutes. Is this your experience? Yeah, it's longer than you think. I'm always driving in thinking, oh, I thought this was just 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It's long. I would budget an hour. And yeah, I budget an hour. Easy, maybe more. Yeah, it's a long, that driving from Kirby is long. It's windy roads, it's dirt roads, there's places that are narrow. It takes time. Also, on highly unpredictable and fickle drainage, how are we looking for flows for late April, early May? I don't know. It's highly unpredictable and fickle. So I don't know what flow is going to be late April or May. That's like over a month away. There's no way I can know this. Yeah, I don't know. I don't predict flows on the Illinois and the Oahu. Okay. I'm going to buy a raft rather than rent one for the Middle Fork Salmon Trip in early July. Cool. I'm torn between the Highside Mini Max or the Max 12. We are very experienced kayakers and we'll be packing light, and there will be oar rigs to carry some of the bigger group stuff if needed. Are the oar rigs going to leave us in the dust? Any thoughts on the Mini Max versus the Max 12? After the one trip down the Middle Fork Salmon, the boat will be spending the rest of its time on North Carolina, West Virginia rivers. You know, the Mini Max to me is a fun toy. I've seen friends of mine do really cool things in Mini Max. Like really good boater friends of mine do things I can't believe. That is a small boat. It is a very small boat. But in the right hands, it's incredibly capable and really cool. I think in terms of rowing it, it's cute. Like, but it's not, you can't effectively row, in my opinion, you can't effectively row that thing. Not like a real like 13-foot boat. So I think it's like a fun little toy. I don't think it's like a real solid tool for doing rad things. Again, I preface this with, I have friends who use it as a real solid tool to do things. They're exceptionally talented because multiple times I've been with them and I go, you're not going to make it. That thing's going to flip. And it doesn't flip. And I eat my words all the time. They just don't make sense to me. So I would go Max 12. That Max 12 is sweet. It's a great boat. It's so multi-purpose. The Mini Max is so small. It's limited. If you're artuing, you'll get it down, and especially in July, it'll be fun, but you won't be carrying much gear. And the same thing, everybody says, like, we're going to go backpacker style. And then like next time you go, you're not going to go backpacker style. Everybody gets, you know, everybody ends up getting lots of stuff. So, any thoughts on the Mini Max versus the Max 12? The Mini Max is fun to have, and you're experienced kayakers. So, I mean, it drives like a kayak because it's so small. You know, it's like a kayak that gains, you know, some weight. It's just a fat kayak, basically. It drives like a kayak. The Max 12 is pretty sweet, though. I really like the look of that Max 12. So, I don't know. I'd go Max 12. That's just my opinion. I don't know, like North Carolina, West Virginia. Are you talking about the Gauley? Like, then I want the Max 12. If you're talking about, like, I don't know, something small. What's small out there? I know my friends, I haven't done this, but Big Laurel Creek, I keep hearing about, is like a fun thing to do. I think there you want a small boat. So that's where the Mini Max would be sweet. And the Max 12 might be annoying. But if you're doing like Gauley, Yawk, Pigeon, Okoe, Chattooga, having a bigger boat's kind of nice for stability. And not to say you can't do it in the Mini Max. You probably just maybe shouldn't. No, maybe you should. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, that's the end of the questions and probably the end of the show. I just want to thank everybody for watching the show, for asking questions, for dealing with some of my terrible answers. If you're still listening to the podcast, my hat's off to you. That's amazing. I'm super impressed because this as audio has got to be terrible. But just as a reminder, now that we're going to go to privatewhitewater.com, give him a subscribe. He's got great content, a lot of stuff coming out planned. He's doing a great job. Think about getting those gorafting.com maps if you have a trip this summer. Those of you on the middle that have middle four trips, get the map. It's sweet. I think I even have a code. They gave me a code where they like know it's me. I forgot what it was. Shoot. Man, somewhere there's a code. I should say that like it'd be like, use this code for 10% off. I think there was a code somewhere. I'm going to search my email for it real quick. Go rafting code. See if I can find it real quick. I can't. Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, just don't worry about the code. Oh, wait, maybe it's here. Everyone, give me a second. The show's over. So if you can stop watching. There's nothing interesting that's going to happen after I search my email for a code. I don't have it. Sorry, everyone. Just pay. You're not going to get your 6% off. Yeah. One more comment and then we'll go. I R2'd the Middle Fork Salmon last July in the Puma Classic and had a blast. No problem keeping up. Smaller the better. Yeah, well, there you go. Like, I'm wrong. Smaller the better. I don't think keeping up is the issue. That was a part of his question. I didn't even address that part now that I look at it. And we'll be packing light. Are there ore rigs? Blah blah blah. Are they gonna leave us in the, they're not gonna leave you in the dust. Depends who they are. You know, if it's Cody from Private Whitewater and he's a beast, yeah, he might leave you in the dust. But like, I think you're fine. Yeah, especially if you're kayakers and you're fit, you'll be able to move anything. But the Puma Classic would be a sweet boat. Yeah, that'd be a cool boat too. I think the super duper Puma that we mentioned earlier on the middle fork would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Okay, well, that's it for this episode. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you next Monday.